Blog Talk Radio.
Yo! How's everybody out there doing tonight? Today is March 26, 10 p.m. My name is Peter Richardson, owner and sole creator of Saving Athletes Respectfully. Tonight, straight out of Longview, Texas, I got Adrian Riggity Rick Reese. Right after the song, we're getting straight into the interview, baby.
I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am.
Today is March 26th, approximately 5 after 10 p.m. My name is Peter Richardson, owner and sole creator of Saving Our Athletes Respectfully, which is abbreviated S-O-A-R, which means the SOAR, baby. And tonight on SOAR Radio, I do got straight from Longview, Texas, former inside receiver, Texas Tech Red Raider, Mr. Number 80. I got Mr. Adrian Reese. Say what's up, my man.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Oh, man, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. Oh, we see you say, you didn't say what's up, P. You say y'all, but I'm going to act like you say what's up, P. So I'm going to say not much, man.
Well, what's up with you, Pete? What's up, Pete?
Yeah. Oh, man, not much, man. Well, all right, man. So I've been briefly introduced you, Mr. Reese. So I'm going to go ahead and let you formally introduce yourself, my man, and let the people know, you know, where you from and what you about.
Well, I'm my name is Adrian Reese. I'm from Longview, Texas. You know, and I'm from a large family of it's eight kids total. I'm the youngest of eight kids, and you know, my family has always been close, and so that's kind of something that I hold dear. That's my top priority is, you know, family and maintaining close to family and the people that I care about. And I just have a passion to help those that's coming behind me, because I've made several mistakes, every type of mistake that could be made. And I know that coming up, I had people telling me, you know, about things to look out for and watch out for. But, you know, being that age in high school or coming into college growing up, you think you know everything, and I was right there. And I had to bump my own head in a sense to learn for myself. And, you know, I see that I made my journey a lot harder than it had to be. And so I'm just all about trying to help those behind me, trying to help those be better than I was, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah, man, I completely understand that, man. And as for the listeners out there, he said he just want to help people that's behind him, and so they won't make the same mistakes, you know, the same as he did. And this man's coming from a large family. Eight, seven. That's all I can say. You know what I'm saying? Eight siblings, man. But as one point that you did say, Mr. Reese, is like, you know, you have to learn on your own. And that gives me a valid point to make. You know, you and I both, we can relate to, like, you know, having mentors. From my point of view, uh-huh. It's more mentors and not really more siblings. You know what I'm saying? But we did have people in our ear, but I can vouch for it too. I've almost made every mistake in the book, but it's like you know what they say: experience is the best teacher. You know, so and like that's where I really commend on you wanting to get back to and help people. You know, that's younger than you, because sometimes there are kids out there that do take experience to learn, and there are also people who don't really need that kind of experience, which means they take that guidance and they just go from there. So, man, I want to take my hat off to you, you know, for looking out and giving back like that, you know, straight up out of Longview, Texas. Well, tell us, Mr. Reese, tell us briefly about your journey, man, up here at Texas Tech, you know, your journey, your collegiate experience, and I mean socially, and most importantly, academically.
Well, coming into college, like I already stated, you know, I'm from a large family, and we were close. And so coming into college, from being from East Texas, it's a long ways away across, clear on the other side of the state. So I wasn't close to home to where I was able to go home a lot or very often. And so I coming from a close-knit family, I needed close friends and a family-type atmosphere. And just coming in and transitioning to college and coming to Tech, I found that, you know, in my teammates and more in my roommates, two of my roommates, Rajon Henley and Brandon Williams, from day one, we were like brothers. And that's exactly what I needed. And, you know, it helped me to make that transition a lot smoother from high school to college. And that just, you know, in all the different people that I met, not just teammates, but that just attended the university, it showed me that there was so much more that the world had to offer, and not just what I saw in Longview or just what I saw on TV and movies, but that to actually get to know people from different states, and not just states, but different countries, and just hear firsthand their experiences and their journey and learning from that, because I learned more from just getting to know people and talking to people than I ever did in a classroom. And, that played a big part in, you know, my social adjustment. But, you know, as far as academics go, I came in focused, you know. I had my head on straight. I was doing everything I needed to do, staying on top of my grades, made the dean's list first couple of semesters, and then from there, you know, I had my downfall. My sophomore year, the second semester of my sophomore year, I ended up actually failing every single class that semester. And I was put on academic probation to the point where they were about to take my scholarship, and I was going to end up going back home. And, you know, that was an eye-opener for me because, you know, I was dealing with a couple of different things. I had had a couple of surgeries, two surgeries on my foot, on the same foot, and so, you know, that was kind of stressing me. And one of my aunts had just passed that semester, and so that was kind of pulling on me a little bit. But regardless of all that, the main thing is that I really had just got away from who I was. And I started doing things that I had, at a younger age, told myself I would never do as far as, you know, drinking and smoking and doing things that wasn't me, that wasn't at, you know, at the core of who I was. And by doing that and by straying away from the person that I was, it pulled me away from, you know, it shifted my focus from where it needed to be as far as being on my grades and being, you know, on being better on the football field to looking at everything that was going on outside of school as far as going out and partying. And, you know, it was, college, you know, with college comes parties. And I jumped in head first, you know, and I can remember a point in my sophomore year going out every single night from Tuesday through Saturday, I was out. And I was dedicated, but I was dedicated to the wrong thing. And looking back on it, I can sit here and say, you know, yeah, it was because I had surgeries that I ended up doing this or doing that, but it was more so because of where my focus was and where my focus wasn't. My focus was on everything, you know, outside of what it needed to be. And it led to me, you know, almost losing a free education. Because, like I said, you know, I come from a big family, and my parents couldn't afford to, you know, pay for all of us to go to college. I mean, you got eight kids, you know, college is not cheap. And, you know, here I was, had the opportunity of a lifetime, but by me trying to do everything I'm not supposed to do, basically getting away from the way I was raised, I was almost lost it. And that opened my eyes, you know, to how important that an education was. Because I was honestly acting like I had no sense, because I was acting in a way that, you know, was contrary to the way I was brought up and the way that I was taught. So I was acting ignorant.
I know exactly what you're trying to say right now, man. Almost because there are so many kids out there that goes through that, and it makes me want to ask you, because you was going through those surgeries, you know, and you said when you're going through your second semester, you fail every class, man, and it just gets me because they, like, it's so commonly like that. But like what you're saying, like you said that you maybe feel like you're hindering it, and correct me if I'm wrong. Sometimes you get into this atmosphere, and then you do adjust, and then you are doing good, and then there all of a sudden you have an injury, and now you have to cope with that. You have to find a coping mechanism with athletically. Then you have to find a coping mechanism academically, and then that social life comes into play, and then you're trying to cope with this injury, but then it's almost like you don't understand, you know, why certain things are happening the way they are happening, why things are unfolding the way you do. And correct me if I'm wrong, sometimes you get here, you do get used to the lifestyle, you do get socially accepted, you're doing good academically, and then it's almost like you feel like you get a sense of comfort, a sense of security to where you've already made it. And then that's when you start to get comfortable, and you start thinking you've already made it, because you do get a couple scholarship checks. You do get that FAFSA. You done been on TV. You done got friends. Now all of a sudden, you know, you're not able to perform on the field, which is why you're there in the first place. So then you start to get comfortable, and then it's just like, well, I'm kicking it off the field, but then it starts taking away from my focus, which back home. People back home never lose focus. Have you ever noticed that people back home never lose focus? But when you're waking up, actually living that dream, sometimes you can get lost. because I dealt with it. I was in the wheelchair my first semester here at Texas Tech, and right after that, and I was just injury prone. So it's crazy that you were speaking on that, because I feel like there's an 88% chance of Division One athletes that just go through that same criteria, not knowingly, but I think sometimes when you sit back and you get spend some quiet time, and then you get to sit back and see what's really going on. So it's crazy that like you were speaking on that and actually sharing that with the audience about you, you know, feeling certain classes and feeling certain ways once you didn't have these surgeries, man. So a lot of people don't know how hard to come up out of that hole, you know, how hard it really is, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, my hat's off to you. But that leads me to my next question, though, Mr. Reese. My next question, man, because you was out there. You came in here with the class, like you mentioned, Brandon Williams and Rajon Henley. Rajon Henley went to the Atlanta Falcons. B. Will, a.k.a. Brandon Williams, played for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, so you done played with, you done roomed with a bunch of cats who knew about work ethic, man, and you are one of them. So tell us, man, what's your favorite game that you played in here at Texas Tech?
My favorite game would have to be, you know, we played Oklahoma my freshman year in 2006. We played in Norman, and I had a couple of friends, high school friends and teammates that played for OU. And so I was playing against them, and my oldest brother and his family had drove down the game to watch me and support me. So, you know, it was a big game for me and a few different reasons. And, you know, it was a good game. It was a back-and-forth, close game. And I ended up making my first big catch that game. Probably around 25, 30 yards. But, you know, it was a big catch on a third-down play. And it was, you know, it was a great moment in that atmosphere. You know, it was freezing cold that night. I remember like yesterday. It was freezing cold down there in Oklahoma. And, you know, the crowd, it was ruckus. It was a ruckus crowd. And just a great atmosphere. For me to do that in front of, you know, my brother and my nephews, you know, it was a great feeling. And, you know, even though we ended up losing the game, you know, a lot of good came from it just from my nephews being able to see me play college football and see, you know, me at that next level doing something that I love to do. And, you know, just being able to play against my teammates, friends that I grew up with, you know, that I, you know, went to battle with in high school and playing against them and talking to them after the game. It was just a great atmosphere. And so that's definitely my favorite game at Texas Tech.
Oh, yeah, man. I completely understand with you on that, man. I was there at that game, man, and that was a great atmosphere. And, you know, I'm originally from Oklahoma, so I can completely relate to you when you say you're playing against, you know, somebody you used to go to war with, you know, during high school games, and then talking to, you know, everybody else out there on the field, man. So I get it, man. I feel you on that. And we did lose that game, sadly. But like you said, we did learn some valuable lessons about our team that year, my man. So which leads me to this. What's the best part about playing for Tech? Man, what's the best part? You played under the Mike Leach era. You know, you was here whenever the community was behind the team. But I've had a few other guys on the team, and just about everybody's answer is about the same. But I'm going to see if you're going to match up, man. So tell us, what's the best part about playing for Texas Tech?
Best part about playing for Tech was just, you know, how fun it was and how enjoyable it was. And the main thing was the friendships that I developed from it and the relationships that came from it. And, like, not just from my teammates, but even from, like you said, you got the fan base, a loyal fan base, they there for you whenever, whether you up or down. And just the relationships you establish with fans and, you know, alumni and just people in the community that support you. And, you know, to have those friendships that still remain today, and even with me and you, you know, we were teammates, and that relationship carried over, you know, years later. And here we are today, you know. Chopping it up like we are now. And so the main thing, the best part of it for me was the friendships and relationships that came from it and that were established. Because people don't realize that, you know, when you're at that age of being 17, 18, moving out from, you know, living with your parents and having a curfew or this and that, and then you go to college, you're on your own. You know, no more mama there to wake you up in the morning. They don't realize that that's really a time that you come into your own. You know, you becoming a man. You're becoming a man, and, you know, that's what sets the foundation of what you will do years to come. And so, you know, the foundation that was set just from the relationships and the friendships and, you know, the bonds of the team and the coaches and just enjoying playing football and just, I mean, there were so many great experiences, you know, with a coach like Coach Leach. And, I mean, there's a story for everything. He has a story for everything. And,
right.
I mean, he's one of a kind. So just even playing under him and learning, you know, from him as far as his offensive mind goes. And it was just all a great experience. But the main thing, the best part, I would say, would have to be the relationships that I got from it.
Yeah, man, I completely agree with you on that, man. And I would imagine it. I would hope to imagine it being like that in every athletic facility, every team out there. You know, it's that brotherhood, you know, that comes with playing collegiate sports. I can compare it almost to a synonym as being in the Army, man. Like, yes, we have our lives on the line, and yeah, we don't have bullets and stuff flying at us, but as you think about what comes with playing athletic football, you do have PTSD, you do have other different, you know, things that carry over with playing football, but you play almost not for your family back home, but for your brother that's next to you right there, you know what I'm saying, for that brother that's in the locker room, for your roommates. You know, that's who you go to battle with. You know, that's who you cry. That's who you laugh. That's who you play. That's who you party with. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And that's what comes with the forming that brotherhood. So, man, I was just like, every one of our answers been the same. And I said, you hit the nail right on the nose right there, Mr. Reese.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
And just like you said about, you know, forming that brotherhood and how you play for the man next to you. You know, that's something, you know, I've really paid attention to here over the last few years or so, that a lot of times in today's society with athletes, everybody tends to play for self. Everybody has the, you know, I got to get mine attitude. And they play more for the name on the back of the jersey than the name on the front. And at the end of the day, football is the ultimate team sport. If one person jumps outside, the whole team moving back. It's not just penalizing that one individual. And so, you know, a lot of times we get so caught up in, you know, trying to do our thing and trying to, you know, get our numbers and get our stats that we lose focus, you know, on the what it's ultimately about, which is the name on the front of the jersey. That's the family. You know, that's who you represent. Yeah, you represent yourself, your family, by your name being on the back, but there's a reason why it's on the back, because it's second to what's on the front. And, you know, we lose focus so many times, you know, especially as athletes. And, I mean, I'm speaking just me personally. I lose focus a lot on the team. And, you know, like I said before, by me failing those classes, I lost focus on, you know, who I was going to let down. And I was just thinking about doing the things I wanted to do. So I was just focused all on me. And that's something that, you know, we got to address as far as athletes go, because it is a team sport, and especially football. It's the ultimate team sport. And if your teammate can't trust you to do your job, then how is the team going to be successful? Because, you know, you hear all the time that, you know, a team is only as strong as its weakest player. But if it's our job as teammates to lift that player up, to help them to be better. And because, like you said, we're brothers. We like brothers. If I see my biological brother out there struggling, who am I to just go on and say, I got to get mine? There's no way I can walk past him and leave him behind. So, that's the same mindset we got to take, not just even in football, but in school. When you see a classmate struggling and you know how to solve the problem, or you got the answer and you see them struggling with it, take the time to help them. Because, you know, everybody needs a helping hand sometimes. And if we're not willing to lend a helping hand, why should we be giving one?
Exactly. Man, that, exactly right there, man. Like, somebody, like, that's why everything has that domino effect. And if you notice, when you start to study successful people in life, there's a very small percentage of people who don't need no help. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
When I say need no help, that's basically coming up on their own. But I'm going to tell you one thing. There's nobody who got to where they are if they didn't have help. You know what I'm saying? Whether that's help from God, whether that's help from a mentor, whether that's help from some advice that they got from one of their teachers, and they decided to take that advice and run with it. So no matter where you are, what you come from, or where you've been through, you do need that little extra help. You need that little extra which is majority speaking when you get to this democratic society that we live in. We got to have our parents there. When you don't have your parents there, 9 times out of 10, with someone successful that didn't have a coach, you know, to help them get there. If not, then they had some one of their best friends, parents, help them get there, whether that's financially or just tell them to make some good grades, which forms into academically, man. But let me tell you this, because, you know, I can go all night, but we are limited on time here, though, Mr. Reed. But what would you tell somebody, 17 and 18-year-old, you know, we're in that spring right now. You know what I'm saying? We're in that spring.
Uh-huh.
They trying to either they trying to get their film out there. You know, they also trying to work out and also trying to get that diploma or that high school diploma. You know what I'm saying? So what would you tell the 17, the 18-year-old that's trying to make it to the next level, not necessarily playing sports, but just trying to better themselves?
I would the number one thing I would tell them is to be a student first and an athlete second. Because when you look at being a student, there's a reason why they establish no pass, no play. Because they have to set the priority of what's the most important, which is your education. Because whether I don't care how fast you run, how high you jump, you know, how hard you hit, it's going to come to the end one day. Father Time is undefeated. You know, you're going to get old and you're not going to be able to do it. But you will be a student for the rest of your life. You will always have to learn. You always have to adapt to the changing world around you. And so that's the main thing you have to focus on, is just being a student first. Because when you know, that's one thing that really helped me in getting to the next level. Because, you know, I was a student athlete. I can honestly say I was a student athlete because I had the grades to where even if, you know, I wasn't as good as I was in football or in sports, that I probably still would have had the opportunity to go to college because of my academics. But a lot of times in today's, you know, society, especially down south in Texas, football is king. And so there's so many times that football gets put ahead of education. And, you know, the easiest way to look at, to determine whether or not you are a student athlete, is to calculate, you know, how many hours a week you spend practicing sports or football, basketball, whatever it may be. Now compare that to how many hours you spent studying. And you tell me if you're a student athlete. and you know, that speaks for itself. But at the end of the day, like I said, you got to be a student first, because that's something that you will need those skills, those learning skills, those problem-solving skills. Is something that those are skills that you will need to the day you die. And, you know, being a great athlete will only last for so long. And it can be taken away from you in an instant. You know, I look back now, my last college game that I ever played, I tore my shoulder, I tore my labrum. And, you know, it was the first conference game of my senior year, and that's the last college game I ever played. But going into that game, I never would have thought that would be my last game. And, that you know, that's how sports happen. That's how, you know, that's how life happens. You never know. Nothing's guaranteed. And so you have to go into every day playing every game like it's your last, living every day like it's your last. And I make it a habit now of, you know, every night before I go to sleep to reflect on the day to make sure that I don't have any regrets, because I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know if tomorrow's guaranteed. Just like that last game, I was so looking forward to playing the next week and at the next level the next year, but it was all taken away from me in one play. And then, but it took me, because I had a solid foundation of being a student, I was able to adapt and still be successful, even though I'm not playing football at this moment. So that's something that has to be established, is being a student first and then an athlete. There's a reason why they say student-athlete and not athlete-student.
Right, man. Hey, you're exactly right on that. There is a reason why. There's a reason why student is placed in front of athlete, but then, you know, but once you get here, then that's when you never hear the term athletic student until you get to that. Till you get to that next level, and then that's what people say, quote unquote, nowadays, put you on game. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But still, that's why you. It's important. It's a must that you have a strong foundation. You know, so where you're able to stay a student first. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And then become the best athlete that you can be. And Mr. Reese, man, like you touched on that you're not playing football right now, and from hearing that your journey growing up, you know, in an 8-kid household, suffering them injuries here at Texas Tech, failing every class, man, and overcoming those obstacles to be what you're doing now, which you do have an own blog, you know, which is debuted today, man. So go ahead and let everybody know what that blog is about. What's the name of it, you know, where they got to go, you know, to get your words of encouragement?
I started my own blog on today. The name of it is AdrianReese.com. And, you know, I would definitely encourage everybody to go check it out. And, you know, what I'm trying to do, the message I'm trying to send out is just encouragement and just sharing my experiences. Just like we talked about, I've made mistakes. And a lot of times, the people, kids, not even just kids, but people behind us or people that we have an influence over, they tend to make the same mistakes that we made, not because they didn't, we weren't really open and transparent with them about the truth of the matter. And that's what I'm trying to do with my blog, just being transparent, just be real, just be honest about, you know, the experiences that I've gone through. And the things that set me back, so the people coming behind me won't have to do the same thing. And, you know, it's so many times that my uncle used to always say that sometimes, you know, we have to bump our own head in order to learn the lesson. But that's not always true, you know. And that comes with, you know, being a student, being able to learn, being able to adapt. You know, if I see somebody in front of me tripping, like if we're out walking literally and I see somebody in front of me trip or stumble over something, then me being smart, I should know I need to pick up my feet to avoid that. But a lot of times that's what we do. We simply go right behind people and make the same mistakes. And, you know, not because we didn't see it, but because that person wasn't just open and honest with us and didn't even take the opportunity to look back and say, hey, watch your step. But they simply just kept talking. And that's all I'm trying to do with my blog, is just simply reach back and help people to watch where they're going and really pay attention to where they're headed. Because a lot of times we think we're headed in one direction, but we're actually headed somewhere else. And we just got to be real with ourselves. And it takes someone pointing out, you know, we learn more from a testimony than we will from, you know, anything else. And that's all I'm trying to do in my blog, is just get the word out that, you know, hey, I've been there. I've done that. You know, and whatever I haven't done, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to do it. Things, mistakes that I've made, you don't have to make. And that's what I'm trying to do in my blog. And so you can go to just AdrianReese.com. And check it out, you know, and leave comments, leave feedback, and I'll do my best to keep in contact with everybody and with anybody. And I'm open to, you know, open communication and feedback in any way, because feedback to me is all positive, because it's going to help me whether you feel like it's negative or you feel like it's positive. But we need those open lines of communication. And, you know, with that blog, I have a passion for writing, and I know the need of reading, the importance of reading, because nowadays we're lazy. YouTube is king. We want to watch a video on everything, and, you know, nobody wants to take the time to read. But that's what we do in school. We learn through reading. But if we don't read, you know, how that's practice for the mind. That's how the mind practices. Just like in football, we physically go out there and practice our craft. But in order to practice learning, we have to read. And that's why I wanted to blog rather than submitting videos, because I want people to get in the habit of having to, if they don't understand a word, go look it up. Because all that is study.
Right.
If you get in the habit of studying, then it'll transfer over into the school. And you'll be, you know, the things that we do on a consistent basis are the things that we're going to get better at. And so we're reading, and then we're going to, that what we're reading, what we're taking in, is going to be the way that we speak and the way that we talk. So if we read complete sentences, we'll speak in complete sentences rather than every other thing being slang or, you know, everything that you hear. You know, everybody always never completes a sentence or never completes a thought, because that's what they take in. They don't read. And so that's one thing I just want to encourage, just reading, because that's how you learn. And, you know, I'm a blogger, but I'm also a personal trainer. You know, that's what pays the bills. And I have a passion for that. I'm a personal trainer at Studio Fitness in Rockwall, Texas. And I work predominantly with youth, you know, doing sports training and just general fitness, but I also work with adults. But it's just, you know, in doing that, it's an opportunity for me to instill character and establish the importance of being a student athlete. And I don't take it lightly, because everything I do, even, you know, not at my job, but just in talking and speaking to you here on tonight, you know, I take it with a seriousness, because it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity that God gave me to help someone else, because I don't know who's listening. I don't know who's watching. And so I have to, you know, make sure that everything that I do is beneficial to someone else. And that, you know, if you want to reach me, you can just hit me up on my blog or find me on Facebook. Just search AdrianReese.com. I'm sorry, just search Adrian Reese on Facebook and just drop me a line or whatever it may be. And I'm open. I'm an open book. I'm transparent. I'm here to help or just to listen or whatever it may be, because we all need help. We've established that already so many times in this conversation that we all need help. And any way I can help, you know, I'm here to do it. And so that's all it is. That's what I want to do, and that's what I want to inspire others to do, to simply help the person next to you. And that's what I'm trying to do with that blog. But then I would definitely say you won't regret checking it out.
Yeah, man, I can feel you on that, man. I can already feel it right there. Like when you say regret, man, I guarantee you most people 20 years from now will regret the things that they didn't do versus the things that they did do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And which also leads me to this, and I get it, I understand it, I feel it. You know why you started that blog, like you say, you just want to help. In my eyes, that's a server. You're serving people. You're helping people get better, which is providing hope. And I'm breaking down the term hope as it's something as simple as helping others pursue excellence. That is hope.
Uh-huh.
Helping others pursue excellence. And to sum everything up, Mr. Reese, and I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking about this earlier, man. And I bull kid you not. And there's something, I've actually learned it from the legendary Russell Simmons, man. This got my attention a couple years ago. And everything is a stepping stone. Everything is a stepping stone. If you learn late, tell somebody early. You see what I'm saying? So like right now, I'm 27 years old. There are some things that you said to me that I'm just now getting. So whenever I go see whenever my little brother needs some advice or something, I would tell them early. So they ain't got to wait till they're 27, you know what I'm saying, before they learn 27 years to get. So if there's any words of encouragement from both of us guys, speaking to you guys that's out there listening, if you learn late, tell somebody early. It's a stepping stone. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Just think about how you felt when you got some new knowledge. And then when you get some new knowledge and you're excited about it, then you want to spread it. You know what I'm saying? It's a domino effect. If you get better, your family get better. If your family get better, your community get better. If your community get, if your community get better, your state get better. And if you want to take it another step farther than that, if your state get better, the nation gets better. And we all know the way everything is turning. The way everything is turning now, man. They're just like you stated earlier, Mr. Reese. We all need a little bit of help. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So let's go out there. Let's go out there. Let's go do it. Get keep our nose clean and continue to soar. So, Mr. Reese, that's going to conclude the end of my interview, man. If there's a quote, if there's a saying, a little mantra, or whatever it is, man, you got 10 seconds, man, just to let it all out there. There you go.
You know, something that a quote that I live by is, I can't remember who it is, but, you know, people look at me and laugh because I'm different, but I'm looking and laughing at them because they're all the same. And that's you know, everybody tries to be different nowadays, but just be who you are. And be who you are and be true to yourself and, you know, to your faith, and everything will work out because you are different just by being you.
That is real. You are different just by being you. So don't try to fit in with the norm. You know what I'm saying? Just what Mr. Reese is saying, just do you. Because that right there is different. That right there is different within itself. Oh, man. So that's what's up, man. I want to congratulate you, Mr. Reese, for being on my show. Stay on our athletes respectfully, man. It is, man, from what I hear is, whoo. Hey, I hear some powerful stuff. I just put it to you like that. But there's one more question I got to ask you before I let you go.
Go ahead.
Before I let you go, I ask everybody who come on my show this question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I see myself traveling and speaking, basically sharing the same message I'm sharing now. And, you know, I really don't like saying what I will do in 5 years because I live my life, you know, one day at a time, and I just follow the path that God leads me on daily, because it's not, regardless of what I have planned, it all boils down to what God has for me to do anyway. That's going to happen. But, you know, in 5 years, God willing, I see myself, you know, traveling around and sharing the same message I'm sharing now, and because that's where my heart is. That's where my passion is, and I know that's where God has my purpose to be. It's just to help those around me and pay it forward. You know, everybody wants to pay back, but there's no point. You know, a lot of people helped me along the way, and I can't afford to pay all of them back because there's so many people, but I can pay it forward by helping the next man, helping the next person. So that's what I plan on doing. You'll see me, you know, on a national stage, paying it forward, just helping those that's coming up behind me.
Man, that's big right there. I've never heard that term right there, paying it forward, man. I can really commend you on that, paying it forward. What, you know what that means, looking out for the future, looking out for the youth, and he understanding where he's coming from, but where he's coming from is strictly in the rearview mirror. Well, all right then, Mr. Reese, I want to say thank you, man, once again, for coming up on my show. And when you come
and I thank you.
Text, man, Send me a text or something, man, and maybe we can go grab some lunch or something. You know what I'm saying? But that's the end of my time. So that's going to be that. It is a wrap. All right, my man. So, hey, you have a great night, Mr. Reese. Is that cool?
All right, you too, and I appreciate it, man.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. You have a wonderful night.
You too.
All right, cool. All right, man. That was Mr. Adrian Reese right there, man. Great God friend, man, right there. As you can tell, man, he's a helper. He's a server. He's trying to help others pursue excellence, which is giving people hope. That's right there. But I'm running short on time. Peter Richardson, owner and sole creator of Saving Athletes Respectfully, which is abbreviated SOAR, which means for SOAR. No matter where you've been and what you've been through, SOAR is about making your dreams come true, baby. Right now, I came to win by Nicki Minaj and Miss Rihanna. You guys have a great night.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to thrive.